You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
If you will find the verses, Psalm 121, 1 and 2, says, I will lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher. I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and more strict judgment from you. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. Thank you for being here today. We're going to be doing Experiencing God together in the fall after Labor Day. Our Sundays and our Wednesdays are designed to be compatible with each other in dealing with those seven essential truths. And I'm just going to be leading up to that in these next few sermons. With Experiencing God, this is the third time we've been through it as a church in the 28 years we've been together. And it's not about knowing it or going through it, it's about doing it. And to encourage you to try it, to stretch your comfort zone a little bit, get out of your box, and watch what the Lord does and as you follow him and join him in those endeavors. So when we look at verse 1, Psalm 121, 1, he asks the question, first of all, he's lifting his eyes toward the mountains, and then he asks a question, where will my help come from? And then in verse 2, he answers the question. He said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When we look at Psalm 121, 1, he talks about and we'll focus on him lifting his eyes. Maybe you remember a sermon not too long ago where I was showing you in scripture where set our minds and our hearts on things above. Look toward the eternal, not the temporal, but the forever. And if you remember, we did a prayer together at the end of that service where actually when we prayed, we looked up. We were looking up in the prayer, not bowing, even though the worship, the word worship has a word picture to it, and that is bowing or submitting and surrendering yourself to the Lord. We also praying, there's praying in scripture where their eyes are looking up, and we practiced that day. Was a little bit awkward for you. I get it. I understand that. But it's the picture of I'm looking upward to the Lord. It's a signal of respect, but it's I need help and I need rescue, and you're the only one who can give that to me. Julie and I celebrated 44 years of marriage Friday, and I know a lot of other people in our church have that same anniversary. Yes. Andrew married, we instantly became grandparents. Charlotte is everywhere playing volleyball all over the world. And then Gwen is all over the world playing soccer. So the other day we got to keep our grandson. Miles, bless him with that picture. Look at that right there. I'm telling you, I'm done. You know, stick a fork in me. It is over. Look at that mess right there, would you? So we kept him the other night, and they were out and about doing their volleyball and soccer life. So we were at their house, and we kept him the other night, and he came, he's 99% walking everywhere. Occasionally he'll crawl, but he's got his hands up, his shoulders up. He's walking everywhere, you know, just got that shuffle. And out of Julie being there, and he walked over to me, stood at my feet, and he looked up at me, and he held those arms up, and I was done. I mean, I'm like, whatever you want, son, all of your life, whatever you want, you know? But he looked up at me like, I need you. I want you, I need you. And when I saw that, I would just pick him up, you know. And but I'm like, man, you've got me. Listen, just to do whatever analogy you want to do with that. I think we do that with the Lord, and we should do that with the Lord. We're going to talk about other help that's around us, but we've got to go to Him, you all, and look up to Him and to Him only. There's help around us. We need to pay attention to that. But there's times we need to look beyond that help and look to nobody else but my Lord, who's the maker of heaven and earth. And it's just looking up and rescue and help and direction and advice and counsel. And I need all this from you. I need all this from you. So I raise my eyes as a picture and a sign of respect and need. And I know all of all that is around me, I'm coming to you, Lord. You know, when you're living in the world, you're looking down or you're looking forward, one of the two. But the spiritual picture is you and I look up. I raise my eyes, and then eventually it's going to be to the Lord. So he says in verse 1 that I raise my eyes to the mountains. There's some views we're going to give about the mountains here in a minute. But mountains then could have been pagan, the pagan gods, lowercase g. They lived on the mountains because they had them in high esteem. Remember recently a sermon I told you that God did a lot of miraculous things on the mountain, Mount Sinai, Mount Carmel. It just goes to Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac, and it just goes on and on. And I think a lot of times God did it on the mountains to show them that I'm a greater God than any of you your belief in a pagan God. But he says, I'm looking toward the mountains. Back then, it was common for people, whatever their belief system, was to look to the mountains where their God may be residing. So the picture here is that God did great signs and wonders on the mountains, and I think he did it simply to prove of his existence and his power over pagan gods and pagan beliefs. It also was a reminder to believers of who he is. So the psalmist is questioning, where will I get my help? Where's it going to come from? Is it going to come from anyone? Is it going to come from anywhere? Where is my help going to show up? There are three views I'm going to give you today about looking to the mountains for that help. The first one doesn't count. But if you at all, the second two are the vital and the valid questions that we can get from it. But the first one has to do with Adolf Rupp. You all do know this was Adolf Rupp's verse, right? Do you know that? And so when people ask about his coaching success or the success of the Kentucky Wildcats basketball team, he would quote this verse. He said, I lift my eyes toward the mountains, and mountains there was a reference to Eastern Kentucky because he got his winning, leading ball players from Eastern Kentucky. Where will my help come from? Now, I'm giving you three views. I just gave you the first one. That one doesn't count. That's just for maybe you're playing trivia and you'll win on that question maybe one night. But the second one is a valid question. Are the mountains a source of help? Are they a source of help to him? Or does he need help beyond the mountains? Mountains can be a place of danger in that world. They could be their winding roads, their curvy roads, and around a curve could be a wild animal ready to ambush you. It could be physical injury happening, just the roads weren't taken care of by the county. You know, and even the walking paths, they weren't. It could be physical injury, just physical injury of a hike and a fall. It could be of robbers. You know the story in the Gospels about the Good Samaritan, and this man was robbed and beaten and laying on the side of the road as dead. They were ready to ambush you too. So the mountains could look to be a dreadful place to be. And there's a question here that he's looking to the mountains, that he needs help in safely navigating the mountains and the dangers that come with them. I'm going into the mountains. Where am I going to get any help? because obviously there's danger in the mountains. Where's my help going to come from? But there's a more valid question than that one. And that is, where does this help come from? And it comes from, this could be a picture of a journey to Jerusalem or from Jerusalem. Just remember, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is on a hill. It's a city on a hill. It is the holy city. It's the city of God. You sing the old hymn, marching to Zion. It's Zion. And we're marching upward to Zion. So if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to go up. It's on a mountain. And the picture here is that I'm needing help in my life, and I'm going to look to the holy city, to the city of God. The city of peace is what the name stands for, and I'm going to look to there for my help. So those two things equally could be happening. The mountains are dangerous. Where am I going to get help navigating them? Or I'm looking to Zion, and I'm looking to the city of God for help. But in all those questions, he answers it in verse 2. In Psalm 121, 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The picture is he looks beyond all of this. He looks beyond the mountains. He looks beyond anybody that could help him. He even looks beyond the city of God to God himself. He said he looks to the Lord, not a mountain, not a place, not an idol, not a thing, but to the person of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. His vastness and his greatness and his power. When I was at Western for a little phase in between my baseball days at Camelsville, I took astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy. And I love to go to the planetarium there. I love to go to planetariums anyway. And so I would go there and just let's just stop for a moment. You and I have got all kinds of help around us, all kinds. Let's just take people who are going through the flooding in Indiana, and that area is horrible what's happening, but relief and rescue is coming into them. Whether somebody's had a tornado or a hurricane hit our land, earthquakes in other parts of the world, there's people rushing there with personnel and equipment and just shelter and food and clothing. And wonderful. That's wonderful. We need to do that. We need to be ready for that. And we need to even look to that. But back to the astronomy thing, I want to remind you that you and I are perfectly placed in this solar system. If we're any closer to the sun, you and I are going to burn up far worse than I am today. So if we're any further away, if we're any further away from the sun, we're going to freeze to death, which actually sounds not too bad, actually. I don't want you to die from it, but you understand we're perfectly placed. Though you're sitting still, we're moving so many thousand miles an hour. We're at the right tilt. It just goes on and on. We're perfectly placed here. Do you realize that when little John, we call him John, when he walked up to us and to me, and he was at my feet, and he raised those hands and those eyes to me, do you realize when you and I do that to our God, we're doing it to the one who has made it all, right? There's a man that I love deeply in Russell County, and I'll talk about him twice today, actually. And he'll tell me, he goes, Jeff, when I stand before the Lord who made it all, that's the way he'll say it, that he made it all. You and I, when we go to God, we are going to the most powerful source in all of creation. I mean, he's not a band-aid. Do you understand? He is the greatest source of power and knowledge and wisdom that has ever existed. And our problem is you and I look to think we're self-made. we're going, I'm educated, and my gosh, we've got all kinds of chances to be able to be a part of that. It's my experience. I'm creative. I'm intelligent. Look what I can do. Look what I can put together. I just want to remind you that the older you get in your faith, the more reliable you're going to have to be on the Lord. It's never, hear me, never meant for you to be living more independently from Him. It is meant by God for you to continually be dependent on Him. Who do I go to? Where do I get my help? From just anyone and everyone? No, I look beyond all of it. I go to the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and who is the maker of earth, in His greatness. So we look beyond here. We look up. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:6 for a moment. We're going to be dealing here with a couple passages that God is our source. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father, from whom all are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through Him. That we just sang a song, Lord, You are my everything. You are my everything. You know this verse that I'm going to give you. It's Psalm 23:1. But just look at it. It says that the Lord is my shepherd who leads me, and there is nothing that I lack. Because there's nothing lacking in Him. It says He will supply to us through His riches and glory. That He is my source. And that's where we've got to get to. The psalmist was asking a question. How am I going to get help? Whether it's the danger of the mountains or it's the city on a hill, Zion. And then he stopped and goes, I'm not going to either place. I'm going to go beyond those things, and I'm going to go to the Lord, who is the maker and the maker of heaven and earth. You know, I've told you that we're going to be retiring and fading out in 2 years. I told somebody this week, I said, I feel like, you know, Back to the Future, when they were messing up with history and it wasn't working out right, and he'd look at the family picture and one of them would start to fade away, if you remember that. So do I feel that way? I do. I do feel that way. So Julie and I, as we're talking about our retirement, I listen to podcasts, I listen to radio shows, and some of you are going, hey, Pastor Jeff, I've got some help. Don't send me that help. I know every step now. I am dizzy with retirement information. I don't want to hear another word about it. I've heard everything that you can find, and that information is out there. And I'm just, there's a time I've got to stop. And there's all kinds of help around me. Okay? Where do I go for help? I've got to stop and go, You are my source, Lord. You are my source. You know, I get to talk about retirement. People in biblical history, that really wasn't that big of an item. It was this, God, I depend on you know. I'm looking to you. So the psalmist says that God is his source and that God is our source. You are my everything. And we've got to go there because we're just so self-made and self-contained. We've got to get to that point where you and I go to God like John came to Papa G. And the G doesn't stand for God. So it actually stands for gobbles, because I'm a turkey hunter. It's a long story, okay? So just let your imagination run with that. But the picture is, am I running to God for help like John came and raised his eyes and his hands to me? God, You are my source. Also, you're going to hear in Scripture that God is our portion. Look at Lamentations 3:24 for just a moment. It says, I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in Him. And the word portion has to do with inheritance. It has to do with what God has for you. It can even be a picture of land or even inheritance, one of the two. And it is, the Lord is my portion. He's my future. He holds it in His hands. He orders my steps. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, He directs my paths. He has all that there. But sometimes you and I have got to stop and go, God is greater at design than you and I are. He's greater at design than we are. And we've got to look to him as that source. Look at Psalm 73:26 for just a moment. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion, my future, my inheritance. He is my portion forever. I went to do some business back in Russell Springs where Julie and I pastored for a number of years. They're like family to us. Sometimes you come to us and go, I went through your hometown the other day, and I said, Campbellsville? And they go, no, Russell Springs. And I said, oh, okay. And I don't even change it, because those people there are just like family to us. So I was back doing some business, and then I met with Rabin Smith again, the guy I mentioned earlier. We went out to eat. There's a couple people that I found out were in the nursing home while I was down there, and I thought, well, I've got a few minutes. I really didn't have many minutes, but I said, I'm going to stop in and see them, and I stopped in to see them at the nursing home. And I went into one of the rooms, and there were two people in there, and I was there to see one of them. And actually, the one I was seeing, his daughter and son-in-law have been a part of this church at one phase of their life. So I went to see him and pray with him, but there's a guy in the room. And so the nurse comes in and she goes, are you a preacher? I said, yeah. I'm like, you know, do I have a tag on me or what? I don't know. But I said, yes, I am. And she said, mentioned this guy's name, said he's fallen recently. He's got a brain bleed. He has no family. And said, would you pray over him? And I said, I'd be happy to. And I prayed over him, and I just had to stop. Of course, this verse, this message was, you know, rolling around inside of me, and I was like, and I prayed for her. I prayed for her as a caregiver, but I prayed over him, and I said, I know on this earth there may not be anybody for him, but God, you are for him. And I even gave him the Hope Church grace and peace in the prayer. But he's not expected to make it from the fall and the brain bleed. But I hope he was able. He actually spoke, and he hadn't been speaking for a few days. He actually spoke in that prayer. I hope he got a feeling and a knowing that his source is in the Lord. It's where it always is. Where do I look for help? Anyone? Anywhere, all kinds of help around us. Help's available. I'm saying there's some great counsel out there. But I go to the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. That's where I go to. And my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. My heart may be failing, but God is the strength of my heart. And he is my portion, my source, my future. My inheritance, he is all that forever and forever and forever. So where do you look? Where do you look? I'm going to encourage you today to look beyond the help that's there. And there's help that is around us, and we need to be thankful. But let's look beyond it. And I'm not saying don't receive help that's around us. I'm not saying that. Just don't stop there. Look beyond to the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And who do we cry out to? You're going to cry out to people around you, and that's fine. But go beyond that. We've been using the word invite for 2026. Invite him in your situations. Invite him in the decisions you've got to make. Invite him into that. Just like as we're phasing out in these 2 years, we're already praying for the next pastor of this church. I just want you to know he's not just going to all of a sudden appear like a magician does a trick on Penn and Teller, you know. He's living and breathing and somewhere in this world today. And we begin praying for him. I know you've got ideas, and I have ideas. We all do, about who that person is or what age they should be or any of that. I get it. I wouldn't expect any less from you. But what are we going to do? We're going to seek the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. We're going to look beyond. What does he have in store? How does he direct our paths? How is that going to happen? What, we look to him, we look beyond, and Lord, you are our help. I want to leave you with this blessing today in Psalm 115, 14 and 15. You need to write this blessing down. This is a great blessing, okay? One of my favorite ones is Romans 15, 13. But this is also becoming a new favorite for me. So it's on the list. And when we talk about may the Lord add to your numbers, it says he is the Lord of increase. If you're praying with people and you don't know exactly, I pray increase over them. Just like the Pinkstons gave me some news before the service, or Jamie did. And man, we rejoice. It's been a 7-year prayer, and God's answered it, hasn't he? I mean, it's just been miraculous. I know where their thanks goes. I understand. I know who did that to them in their life with their granddaughter, and we just rejoice in that. And there are many things out there for you in this service to give thanks for, where the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, has intervened in this world. And you all have seen it and experienced it and been blessed by it. So if you're looking to pray something over somebody, I pray, a lot of my prayers are a prayer of increase. That's what add to your numbers means. He's the God of increase. And if it's physically or spiritually or emotionally, then I pray that over them. God, may you give them increase in their life. So this is my blessing to you today as we part. May the Lord add to your numbers increase, both yours and your children's. Even that little knucklehead that was on the screen there, you know? May the Lord give you increase, both yours and your children's. May you be blessed by the Lord. Are other people in this world going to bless you? Possibly. But just don't look to the world for the blessing. Look to the Lord, who's the maker of heaven and earth, for blessing. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I know I paused to preach in between there a little bit, and I probably always will. But let me say it without the sermon commentary, okay? May the Lord add to your numbers, both yours and your children's. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth. Church, let's leave this service today. There's help around us, but let's look beyond it. We can ask the question, where does my help come from? But let's answer it with the next verse, that I look to the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And let's walk out of here today looking past what's available and going to him. Amen. Will you receive that today? Let's look beyond. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. Pray blessings over them, Lord. I pray increase over them, Lord, in their businesses, their family life, Lord, their spiritual life, their emotional and mental health, Lord, their peace over them. Just give them increase of your peace, Lord, over them. I pray that we walk out of here today knowing what's earthly available, but Lord, we look beyond all that and we look to you. You are the maker of heaven and earth, and we thank you. We thank you that you've made yourself available to us. Not only that, you pursue us. Father, I pray that I come to you like my grandson came to me. I come to your feet. I raise my eyes and I raise my hands, knowing that you are my source and that you are my portion. Will you say that to him in your quiet prayer right there? Lord, you are my shepherd. You are my source. Lord, you are my portion. And I trust you. My hope is in you, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand? Counselors, come find your spot if you will. Team's going to lead us. You may want to be prayed for, prayed with, or prayed over. These people are here for you. You may want to come and make it a day of surrender. We had baptisms in the first service. I think we have two more baptisms over the next couple weeks. God has been gracious, and we're grateful. So you may want to respond with it being a day of surrender to our Lord. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Team's going to lead us. You respond.